Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. And for those of you who are listening to me at this time, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made and created. Once again, you have blessed us to assemble together again this day. Father, I ask that you would help me into rightly giving your word unto the people, rightly dividing it, that they may understand the message that you are sending today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for such an opportunity you've given me to proclaim the gospel in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. I want to read from another one of the messages, a scripture from another one of the messages that the Lord sent through his angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, who is the Elijah. And glory be to God. In this part of the series, I've been going into the word with you, delivering the message to you that Jesus has been sending his heavenly angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, who is also known as the Elijah. Not the Elijah the Tishbite from the Old Testament, but he is called the Elijah by the Lord because he come in the spirit and power of God and not of man. Glory be to God. And I want to read a scripture here from one of these messages. This one is called the 24th message. The Lord sent it out November the 30th, 1930. And as I told you before, I don't have a problem giving you dates because I want you to ask Jesus about it. So when you go to the Lord and say, hey, Brother Nate said that you have sent your angel. You sent him out November the 30th, 1930. Is that true? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this is one of the things that he said in his message that he delivered from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word said, I have sent John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias, in the spirit and power of Elijah, preparing the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to be just. For he is the messenger of the covenant to all people. For I, the God of Israel, am no respecter of persons. For all that will love the Lord and keep the commandments that my son had brought to earth are accepted of me. Glory to God. Jesus said that he has sent John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Which through this brings me to my fourth witness. I have been sharing with you from the Bible witnesses who would corroborate and testify that John the Baptist is and was called the Elijah, and that he has a ministry of restoring. So far, I have shared the first three witnesses with you. The first one being Jesus witnessing to the multitude that followed him. The second one being Jesus witnessing to his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the third one was Malachi, who witnessed to you that John is the Elijah and that he is to come before Christ places his feet once again on this earth. So now that brings me to my fourth witness. Glory be to God. And my fourth witness is the angel Gabriel. As we go into Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. Gabriel being our fourth witness. And I'm going to start from verse 8 and go to verse 17. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 8, going to verse 17. And the word of God says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, this is talking about Zacharias, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went in unto the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We see in verse 17, the angel referred to John as the Elijah, for he will go in the spirit and power of Elijah, which is the spirit and power of God and not man. Do you see that? Gabriel witnesses also that John the Baptist is called the Elijah. Glory to God. And John has such a special work that the Lord did not let the parents name him. You see that? John has such a special work that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, how many people have you read in the Bible that was filled with the Holy Ghost from their mother's womb? How many? Huh. Now, I'm not telling you this to say worship John, because we don't worship John. But I'm trying to show you the special and particular ministry he was given by Lord. You know, some people in the body of Christ are called to special callings. Okay? And not to say that they're better than anybody, it's just God has called them to a special particular calling. Amen. And that means some things may one that is not normal to the mind of the people. I ain't talking about sinful stuff now. Don't get me wrong. But, for example, like here, you would think that, because remember, Elizabeth was barren. And they was up in age. And you would think that since God has blessed her to be able to give birth to a child, that he would let them name the child. But he didn't. Because he had a special and particular purpose, a call for this child. Okay? Just like when Mary gave birth to Jesus, and the angel told Mary's husband that, hey, you know, Mary, you know, that child within her is of the Holy Ghost, and his name will be Jesus, okay? Well, they weren't given a chance to name the child, especially when it was our Lord incarnated in the flesh. And so, here we see that John was named by God specifically. The angel let Zacharias know that will be his name. His name will be John. So the next question is, did this angel mention about John have a ministry of restoring? Because for some of you, when you read this, what we read, you say, well, hey, wait a minute. He didn't mention nothing about John having a ministry of restoring. He just said that he would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He didn't mention about no restoring. Well, actually, he did. For example, in verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, just like we did on yesterday when we were looking at Witness 3 with Malachi, and how Malachi told that John was having a ministry of restoring, we was told in the simple word that it said turn. So in this verse here, we can do the same thing with this word turn. He shall turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Now, let's look at the word turn for a minute here. And the word turn, the original Greek word there is epistrepho. Epistrepho. Epistrepho means to revert, literally, figuratively, or morally, to revert, okay? To come, go again, to return, or turn about, or turn again, okay? Notice that the first meaning of that Greek word I gave to you that was translated the word turn was the word revert. Okay. Webster defined the word revert as to come or go back. Do you hear that? To come or go back as to a former condition, period, or subject. I'm going to read that again. The word revert, okay, which the original Greek word, that's the meaningful original Greek word that was translated turn in verse 17, is defined by Webster as to come or go back as to a former condition, period, or subject. And if you remember from what the series I even done before that called the Restitution and Restoration of All Things, you will remember that that meaning is the same meaning of the word restore, which means to put or bring back into a former condition. Okay? You get that? So Gabriel did tell us that and is confirming that John the Baptist, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah, has a ministry of restoring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we want to also notice in this verse that Gabriel also confirms what Malachi, who was our third witness, said. Amen. But he went further and gave us a birth name. You said, what do you mean? Well, in Malachi, Malachi said, I would send you Elijah the prophet. Here, Gabriel said and told us his birth name will be John. That's why whenever you study a particular subject, read all the witnesses you get on that subject. Because when you put it all together, it brings full clarity on the subject. That's why God said in the mouth two or three witnesses. And see, sometimes God on that subject will have one witness saying something that the other witness didn't say to bring more clarity. Okay? But you put all the witnesses together. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, your next question would be, since I have testified to you and show you witnesses that said that John was to come again, we know he came one time in the flesh, but that he was to come again in this life, and in this time, this day and time, you would say, some would ask, how does this show that he was going to come back for a second time? How does this show that John the Baptist, the Elijah, who has a ministry of restoring, how is it that Gabriel just showed, or is he showing us, that John is to come back for a second time? Notice that Gabriel said in verse 17, and he, which is John, shall go before him, who is to him, Jesus. Okay? Amen. He should go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's the question. How many times is Jesus to show up here on earth? Well, he showed up one time, so he's supposed to show up what? Again, a second time. Okay, hallelujah. Because when Jesus comes again, this will be his second coming. So when Gabriel said, and he, which is John, should go before him, which is Christ, that was actually a twofold application. Why do I say that? Because it's referring to him coming before Christ's coming. And Christ came one time, and remember, John came before him that time. Now John is to come before him again to do a work again. You get what I'm saying? See, our Lord has a pattern. That's something else we need to understand. And we're the ones that need to learn his pattern. And sometimes when we don't learn his pattern, we get all off on tangents and all kinds of other stuff and saying this and saying that and messing up here and there and everywhere, because we miss the pattern of God. Okay? Because if somebody was showing you a pattern on how to build something or sow something or something like that, and you get off the pattern, you're going to mess it up. And see, one thing about God, when he sets a pattern that he goes by, he keeps it. You understand that? So our fourth witness, Gabriel, has just testified to you that John, and remember, for him to go before Christ second time, he has to come back as a resurrected being, which, since I told you that this is a twofold application, The only way he can come before Christ again, he would have to come as a resurrected being. Because remember, John was beheaded, what, over 2,000 years ago? Okay. He was killed. Even if he wasn't killed, what person you find even today that's 2,000 years old? What person you find is 1,000 years old? As I told you before, we celebrate with people that when they turn 100. So no one, as you know, really lived to be 1,000 or 2,000 years old, or at least 2,000 years old. And for them to do a work in this time, it has to be as a resurrected being. No other way. Because each year, for example, in this time frame, we get older, the flesh starts breaking down. Because this flesh cannot live forever in this state. It was made from the dust, okay? Of the earth. So it can't live forever in this state, okay? Hallelujah. You know, you got some people who think they're going to live forever in this flesh. That's why they're getting, and I ain't trying to be funny, but Botox and all kind of toxins and everything. They done had so many surgeries, it's not even funny. And even some doctors been telling them, hey, that's enough on the surgeries. You damaging yourself more than helping yourself. You know? Amen. Glory to God. You know, one time, they were saying that by Michael Jackson, that he had so many nose surgeries that the way they talk it, like he messed his nose up, you know. And see, people, you know, there's nothing wrong with you presenting yourself in a pleasant way, but you can't go overboard or make yourself, quote, presentable. Stuff that many people are doing now, they're going overboard. They're not trying to be presentable. They're trying to be desired. Oh, my goodness. Brother Nate, did you say that? Yes, I did. I remember back here about 2 or 3 years ago, see, God had dealt with me by his spirit on that. And what he dealt with me about was the dress, people dress. And he let me know, and his pinpoint was more of people who, quote, say they are into the church and all that. And he began to deal with me why, another reason why there's a lot of inappropriate dressing. You know, women wearing real tight, real short stuff to church, you know, service, and they can't even attempt to sit down without it flaring up and showing their breasts in the church service. And, you know, with all the cleavage and men is coming there trying to look like pimp daddies and, you know, trying to show off big expensive suits, you know what I'm saying? Feather in the cap, you know, cool daddies. And God began to show me how that the people is not dressing to be presentable. They're dressing to be desired or desirable. You get that? And see, when you're dressing to be desirable, you're going to go through over what I call overboard links to do it, okay? And that includes for people that's getting all these, quote, plastic surgeries. Thank you, Jesus. So when you look at people like John the Baptist, when he first came here on earth, okay, and remember I gave you a definition of soft clothing from Matthew 11 one time. It's dealing with one instance dealing with feminine clothes. It's dealing with clothes like, you know, showing what riches and stuff like that. Well, see, John didn't come dressing like that. He didn't come dressing in expensive clothes trying to show off. You get what I'm saying? He did not come trying to dress to be desirable. He was dressed presentable. And when you look today, and I don't know how I got on this subject, but you look today, presentable to a lot of people in the church is boring. You get what I'm saying? It's boring. It's some are referred to as old woman dressing style, old man dressing style. So you got people today, they don't want to dress presentable. They want to be desirable. So, and like I say, even some of the men coming to church services with their shirt not buttoned all the way up, their shirt open, showing their chest hairs and their chest, okay? This is what we got going on in the services, okay? And the first thing people want to do is say, God ain't looking at my clothes. I say, yes, he is. He's looking at your clothes because the clothes is manifestation of what's going on in you. See, it ain't just, it's not primarily your clothes yourself. It's what you're dressing in. It's sending a message, okay? Glory to God. And I know there's a lot of people in the church that don't like to hear what I just said. Because you want to be seen. You want to be desirable. And see, John didn't come his first time. He didn't come that way. Okay? And see, when you look at this way of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's presentable. It's also desirable in a right way, but it's not, quote, desirable in a fleshly way. You get that? And this is why even some folks who claim to be of God, quote, is not attracted to it. Because if it was more desirable in the fleshly way, oh, listen, this is why some of your churches got a lot of people today. You think a lot of people in the churches because God sent them, don't you? Nope. And some of these churches, a lot of people in there because it's desirable to the flesh, because a lot of these churches do a lot of entertainment. You know, doing live at Apollo in the church building and putting on the hits in the church building, you name it, doing whatever in the church building, in a building that's supposed to be consecrated to God. And therefore, it has become desirable in a fleshly way, so therefore, it grabs the fleshly people. It's going to grab the dishonest and the unrighteous, and the lowdown, and the deceitful. It's going to attract them. Why? Because it's in a fleshly, desirable way. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And John did not come that way. This way of the Lord Jesus is a lowly way. It is a humble way. And it's not a way that is glamorous or attracting to the flesh. Amen. And because it's like that, you have a lot of people look down on it. A lot of people turn away from it easily. Because if it was a way where it was just drought attracting anybody, I guarantee you that, you know, some people who have turned away from the work would stay. Yeah. Because some of them that was, quote, in this way really didn't get a full witness that this way was true. Many of them came by association. And so that person they came in association in here with, when they left the church, they left. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. And I am just grateful for this opportunity to present this. And I want to reiterate to you once again, people, that it's not easy coming on the broadcast with these messages, okay? And I'm not here to glorify the devil, but I'm here to let you know he is doing his stuff. See, that goes to, for any of you out there that say, oh, man, they just, I bet you they just ain't got nothing else to do. They just sit around, just come up with stuff, come up. No. And each time it's beginning to be more challenging and more challenging. It's been more challenging, say this in our going in our fifth year. It's been more challenging this year and last year than the first 3 years. It was challenging the first 3 years, don't get me wrong. But it seemed like the intensity has been turned up. So understand this, when we're coming on this broadcast, we're not coming on here to waste your time. We're not coming on here just to say you ain't got nothing else to do and you might as well listen to us. No, we're coming with an important message. With an important message. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I am grateful once again for such an opportunity to present this word, this message to you today. Like I said, back here, I don't know, a month and a half, a couple months ago, God has started dealing with me again concerning telling the people, telling you all that's listening about the words that he has sent through his angelic being. And I know it's for a reason that some things is going to come up. Because a few years ago, I saw the place of this work. That's why to any of you that think this work ain't nothing, that this ain't work of Jesus Christ, let me give you advice. Hold on, sit back and watch. Because you're going to see whether you have accepted it or not. You're going to find out and see where the place of this work comes at. Right now, you got some of these mega churches, they are breaking down. Okay? They're literally breaking down per se. Well, spiritually, they're breaking down. Okay? And you got more and more people coming out in these mega churches and telling stuff that going on that people didn't know. Now you may say, well, Brother Nate, would you try to say, yeah, cherry perfect? I ain't saying that. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people ride on having mega churches or real big churches, and they think that that's the thing. Not necessarily so. And so you're going to see, some of y'all may have already been seeing it. Those of you that haven't, once again, hold on and watch. You're going to see these mega churches start breaking down even more. You're going to start hearing stuff that's going to be told that hadn't been told before. You know, some people are telling stuff that's happening in these mega churches. And I'm talking about some of these mega churches being on TV, well-known being on TV. Well, now you start to hear about some people telling some stuff that was going on, and you go, How come we didn't hear about it on TV? Well, that's not the type of stuff they want to listen. A lot of these mega churches, they ain't going to put some of this stuff that's going on there. They're not going to put it on TV. They're going to put the stuff they want you to hear. You get that? And sometimes it takes someone within the congregation, the thing to happen to go out on their own and do an interview with somebody in press for this thing to come out. Amen. And see, Christ is setting up his standard. Many of these churches is not in his standard. Oh, they get a piece of it. But for the most part, it's their standard or their church bylaws. And Christ has had enough, okay? And you're going to see where it stands. So if you're the type that you hinge on big congregation, and don't get me wrong, ain't nothing wrong with a big congregation if they all on fire for God. But if you got a big congregation of 100 people and 98 of them is straddling the fence or really just playing a hoopsie-doo with the devil and only 2% is on fire for God, how does that sound? Amen. And don't forget some of these real small congregations that you think God ain't doing nothing in, that don't pack no power, you're going to find out they pack as much power as the church you at, and in some cases more. I thought I had to lay that down right there. Because I see people, quote, who say they are into the church, how they react and act, you know. Some of them, you know, belong to churches that got a lot of people, you know. And so when they come and visit a church that may have 5, 10 people, maybe 3 or 4, they look at it, they look down on it. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes a blockage of people coming to the church could be sin there. Don't get me wrong. Some cases, that's what that is, okay? But not in all cases, because see, in some cases, it's people that love truth. They will come together. And you're going to find out the group of people that love truth versus people that don't, it's going to be under the number of people, because you're going to find more people who don't love truth, even though they said it, than people who do. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7 that broad is the way that lead to destruction, but narrow is the way that lead to life eternal. Okay? He said broad is the way to go to destruction. He said many go therein, but the way to go to life eternal, few. Many sound more than a few, don't it? Okay? He just letting you know. Glory to God. So I am grateful to the word of the Lord. So the Lord said the same. The next series I'm going to be working on is, what is Elijah sent to restore? We looked at the four witnesses who showed us and who testify from the Bible to the fact that this angelic being who has been bringing messages from the Lord Jesus Christ, who told us he is the Elijah to come to restore all things, they corroborate his story. So they say it's true. He is the Elijah to restore all things. So our next series is going to be, what is Elijah to restore? What is he to restore? What is he sent to restore? Because remember, he's God's man. He's sent by God to restore all things. Restore what? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you once again. You have brought us through your word. And Lord God, I thank you for the presence of your spirit. Lord God, I pray that those that heard, that they will be touched by your spirit and seek your face concerning the truth. So, Lord God, I thank you for all what you're doing and all what you're going to do. You're worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord say the same. Tomorrow, another broadcast. Look for the advertisement then. So this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.